Good afternoon. This is Michael Mason welcoming you to Woodland Stars Radio. Here at Woodland Stars, we believe that every human on the planet has the power to use their thoughts to change events in the mundane world. This show is all about learning to gain control of that creative process. So let's go ahead and begin. My co-host today is Wambui Bahati. And Wambui, you've heard her on the show. How are you doing today, Wambui?
Yes, yes. We're going to have a great show today. We had some technical difficulties, but we can only go uphill from here. Today, Dr. Nevin Campanella will be interviewing Gary Craig, founder of EFT, Emotional Freedom Techniques.
Oh, I'm excited. That sounds great. Now, if I recall correctly, you yourself, Wambui, are an EFT practitioner, and you specialize in, was it fear of public speaking?
Fear, yes.
Great. Let's bring Nevin on. Nevin, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, but you know what, Michael? I can hardly hear you. Don, if you're listening, can you raise the volume on Michael a bit? Okay, Michael, give me a test.
Test, test, 1, 2.
That's much better.
All
fantastic.
Right.
Yeah, today, as classic radio would have it, if anything can go wrong, it will, and that's why I love radio. Now I'd like to introduce Gary Craig, founder and creator of Emotional Freedom Technique. Hi, Gary. Welcome to Woodland Stars Radio.
Thanks for having me.
We're really glad to have you on today, and I know it was a little bit of a hassle trying to get the whole radio system operating, but it's finally working.
Sure.
I know you've covered the topic of EFT many times, and I would like to get some of it. But mainly, I would like this interview to cover the history of Gary Craig, as well as the history of EFT. So why don't you first tell us a little bit about yourself, such as where you grew up and where you went to school?
Well, I grew up in Southern California, and was born in 1940, and I ended up going to college at Stanford University. Interestingly enough, I'm a fairly small fellow. I'm about 5'11 and 165 pounds, and I ended up going to Stanford on a football scholarship. It's always a giggle to me because I think the smallest guy on the whole West Coast in college football. But at any rate, that's why I went to school.
Quite a prestigious university, Stanford. What did you study at Stanford?
I have a degree in engineering.
A degree in engineering?
Yes.
Absolutely amazing. So how does a graduate of engineering become the creator of EFT?
Well, the graduate of engineering, you know, was sort of academically trained in that way, but actually got bored with it because I liked people more than I did slide rules. So I spent some time in the investment business, the insurance business, but eventually, you know, my true, I can't think of the right word. You know,
passion.
My true passion, yeah, was people to what I used to call personal performance psychology. That is, you are what you think you are. And I was fascinated by that, even from age 13. So I just, it was sort of a hobby. And then I discovered in 1991 that there was a version of acupuncture that you could use that would completely overhaul the whole therapy process. I don't know how many listeners have ever been through therapy, but typically in the conventional way, you have an emotional issue, and so you go to therapy and you talk about it incessantly, and sometimes these things take months or years to really get good headway. But we found by stimulating these acupuncture meridian points in a certain way, that we could reduce that process from months and years down to minutes and hours. And it was really remarkable because, you know, people that had the fear of heights or the fear of water, for example, the fear of public speaking, people who had trauma, you know, from war or abuse of some kind or other, instead of going through all this time and grueling discussions with therapists, we would simply with our fingertips tap on these various points.
With a certain procedure. Hold on, Gary. We're jumping ahead a little bit too quickly.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The history of EFT is a little bit more involved in that. And maybe before we actually get started, it would be a good idea for you to first of all announce how people might be able to get in touch with you if they want information on EFT?
Sure. We have a very large website. It's www.emofree. It's short for emotional freedom. It's spelled EMOFREE.com. And when you get there, there's a lot of explanation. There's a lot of people that have put articles on there about how they've used EFT. You can download our manual, the EFT manual, that gives you all the basics for free. We've had somewhere between 500,000 and 1 million people download that so far. And
so you do have CDs available?
They're DVDs, yeah, sure.
Or DVDs, excuse me.
Sure.
Okay, let's actually begin, Gary, with what the net says about EFT. First of all, it states that you developed the EFT as a simplification of Roger Callahan's thought field theory. Now, how did you become associated with Roger Callahan?
Well, as I was mentioning earlier, I was always interested in, you know, personal performance type stuff, and somebody just told me about what Roger was doing. And so I called him on the phone, and he was talking to this idea about tapping on the acupuncture meridian points. And so, you know, I got some initial training from him, and my jaw dropped. I thought it was spectacular.
He just jumped right on and said, okay, come on over to my office and let's do something?
Well, he's located 500 miles away, so I got on an airplane and went to see him, but that plus $10,000 later, I was trained in his version of this kind of thing.
But, well, there is a difference in the process between thought field theory, or excuse me, thought field therapy,
yes,
and EFT. So why don't you describe to the audience the essential difference between those two, because I think it's important.
Well, sure. First of all, the essential similarity is that in both cases, we're simply using the fingertips to stimulate and tap on these various meridian points for emotional issues. What is different about it is that you know, Roger developed a number of, to me, very complicated ways of going about this. And this is where my engineering training comes in. What engineers do is we take complicated things and take them apart and put them back together again in as simple a way as possible, and that's what I did. And so we now have something called EFT, which is Emotional Freedom Techniques, which is a simplified version that anybody can use.
Yeah, I'd like the audience to be aware that what you're talking about is the difference between some very complicated algorithms that Roger had made and then the entire process simplified by you. And that is exactly how it's reported across the net. Whether we're talking about Wikipedia or no matter where you look for the name Gary Craig, that's the kinds of examples that will come up.
Yes.
Can you describe the main difference between EFT and TFT? But in the application, there is a specific sequence of tapping points. Now, how did you decide that you would not have to go through those complicated algorithms? I mean, what led you to do that?
Just practice and my own scientific sense of things. I just didn't think they were necessary. And so, you know, I was told a given algorithm was necessary for, let's say, anger, for example. And so I had to do certain points in a certain order, and so I would reverse the order and still get the results.
Did you use yourself as a guinea pig, or did you have friends?
Oh, no, I had a lot of people I knew. I used to be a public speaker, you know, and I used to give workshops on this kind of thing. And I had individual clients and so on. So, I mean, I would just do it differently, you know. And sometimes I would tap certain points that were supposed to be tapped according to the algorithms, and sometimes I'd leave them out altogether, and I would still get the results, which was interesting. And so that reduced down to the fact that we only need just one set of tapping points, one procedure that anybody can memorize, but it takes 1 minute to do. We have 10-year-olds that do it, and the results seem to be the same.
Yeah, the results, as I have researched it, are rather amazing, especially in terms of speed. But there are also some complications. First of all, EFT has not been immediately accepted in terms of traditional form of treatment. And we're going to cover that a little bit later on in terms of its criticisms. But I do want everyone to understand that EFT in and of itself is not necessarily a system that would fall under the rubric of psychotherapy, which includes a lot of different types of therapy approaches. Now, I want to add something to that. Most people who know me, and I am a psychologist, most people who know me know that I have refuted many of the really stupid things going on in the field of psychology. EFT happens to be one of the bright lights on the horizon, so I'd like everybody to know that. Okay, how do you think it's been accepted by mental health professionals such as psychologists? Have you encountered people talking to you about it?
Oh, sure. At first it was giggled at, you know, and it was even there was even open hostility about it, you know. But as people began to open their eyes and try it and so on, it's been gradually got accepted and a little more and a little more. I was giving you an example. I brought this out in 1997, and we had 20 people on an email list. Today, by word of mouth only, we have 350,000. So to answer your question, people who have used it and actually tried it instead of giggled at it have been seeing the results, and they're telling their friends, and off and on we go. It does, however, violate just about every standard belief out there about what therapy is supposed to be.
That's a fascinating comment in itself. And I'm going to make a comment on what you just said. Listen, audience, you really need to understand something about the mental health field. First of all, it is a massive cottage industry, and people who have invested 25 or 30 years of their time in traditional approaches of psychotherapy do not want anything shaking the tree. And EFT, by way of Gary Craig, really has shaken the tree. And that's why he got the response that he did. It's called money. People lose money. And Gary found something that worked better. Well, Gary, I mean, it had to be very frustrating for you at the upfront part. I mean, here you develop something that you know that works, and yet all of a sudden you're getting this harassment out of mental health professionals. How did it affect your life?
Well, while I was getting some harassment and giggles, is the way I'd like to put it, I was also getting a lot of people that were going, wow, you know, and tell me more. And so I was just focusing on the folks that were lining up with it and letting the non-believers go their merry way until they finally decided to actually try it.
Yeah, it's an excellent example, Gary, of how you managed to create your own reality, which is what this show is all about. In other words, you simply did not accept the what was being offered, and you went a different path. You just simply didn't deal with it. You refused to become a victim of people saying things about you. Well, you do have some critics out there, and some of them suggest that EFT is a pseudoscience because it lacks falsifiability and it relies mainly on anecdotal evidence. Now, for our listeners, falsifiability really means that a system needs to be able to be tested to see if it does fail. And what some of the researchers have been saying is EFT is very difficult to put into a category where they can test it. Now, Gary, how do you respond to these critics right now? Because it's still out there.
Well, I've had personal discussions with those that have said just what you said and wrote about it and so on. And like all other critics, they have yet to try it. I mean, they really have not. You know, which is interesting. They're kind of sitting in their trenches shooting guns at it without actually having tried it because it doesn't make sense to their belief systems, you know. And that's okay. You just accept that, you know. There's no movement ever that has come along to change major paradigms that hasn't been met with this kind of resistance. It's just part of what happens. I'd be surprised if I didn't have that kind of resistance.
Well, I think one of the silliest criticisms on the net, and also in the library itself and in some of the journals, is that some of them are calling it a pseudoscience because of your aggressive nature in the way it's advertised on the net. Now, you know, the logic behind that if you were to accept that kind of logic, it would mean that the Mayo Clinic, because it's pushed aggressively on the net, means that they practice a pseudo-medical science. I mean, it's totally absurd what people are coming up with.
Well, the aggressive thing, let me just respond to that if I can. I don't know really where they get the aggressive idea. If you go to our website, you will see there are a lot of claims made, but you don't see me saying terms like amazing and all that kind of stuff. You know, the other people are saying that, but I get in a way a little frustrated with all that kind of thing, because if you look at it, I mean, you can learn the basics for nothing. I mean, I've got a 79-page manual that gives you all the basics, and our DVDs are, you know, very affordable. We're basically putting it out there for the world to see, use, try themselves, and so on for little or no cost. That's hardly aggressive. But, you know, it's all in the eye of the beholder. If someone wants to call it aggressive, they can. You know, somebody could say Mother Teresa was aggressive if they wanted to, you know.
Well, no, they're going to come up with anything they can to disparage something that they feel is threatening to them. I mean, that's what it's all about. And as to whether or not you're aggressive in terms of pushing the system, I would call you on the carpet if you weren't being very assertive about what you've created and getting it out to people.
Yeah, it's bound to sound
admirable.
Yeah, it's bound to sound absurd, and we just know that going in, you know. I mean, you sit around with your fingertips and you're tapping under your eyes and stuff like that, you know, saying some well-designed words, and that's somehow supposed to take care of your war traumas, you know, that our Iraqi veterans come home with. It doesn't compute well, but it sure as hell works, I'll tell you that. We've had all kinds of veterans that
no longer have
their nightmares. Go ahead.
It does work. Is someone calling in? No, I guess not. Okay, maybe it's my own echo I'm hearing. There is some research, and specifically one out of the Journal of Clinical Psychology in 2003, that demonstrates some fascinating results. I mean, 35 patients with a phobia of small animals received one single treatment with EFT. And it worked.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, that's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that's actually a minor part of what we do. But yes, the interesting part about it, we have found that EFT, while it started, you know, with emotional issues, we found that it addresses every emotional issue. There's not a single one you can name that it's not useful for. And this is what's been fascinating to me in more recent times, it has been addressing serious diseases and collapsing the symptoms, oftentimes in a, you know, in a very impressive way.
Well, why don't you discuss that a little bit? These diseases that you're talking about, give us some examples.
Well, I can't tell you how many people I've had with Parkinson's that had tremors, for example, and we'll sit there and go tap. You know, they'll hold their hand out in front of me, and it'll be shaking, much like, you know, Michael J. Fox's hands or Muhammad Ali's hands might shake. And we will do a round or two of EFT, and that shaking is either down to some minimal amount or not there at all. You know, it's really fascinating. We found people with the multiple sclerosis symptoms that, you know, have a hard time walking and consider to walk normally. We have varying results with that, but the fascinating part about that is that we are now being able to address that which everybody knows intuitively, and that is the emotional issues that you carry around, the angers, the guilts, the traumas, the fears, and so on that you collect over a lifetime, they can show up physically in terms of a disease. And medical people ignore that because they have no way to address it, but we start addressing people's emotional issues, and we'll watch these symptoms fade. I can't tell you how many migraine headaches we've just vanished, you know, in moments. It just goes on and on and on and on. That's one of the more fascinating pieces of all this.
Well, as a side issue, migraine headaches about 20 years ago was a major issue in treatment facilities, and it still is today. And what happened in the field of mental health, especially psychology, is everybody went the route of biofeedback. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because EFT, in a way, reminds me a little bit of that when we get into the tapping procedures. But I want to bring up an issue, and that is we did our own little experiment.
Okay.
Michael called you up one day, and I'd like Michael to get on the line right now and give us a little breakdown of what happened when you called Gary and you went through the EFT process.
All right. It was actually, first, let me start off by saying, folks, that, okay, for those of you who don't know Gary Craig out there, and the from what little bit I know of Gary Craig, he is a great man. He's a great man. He wants to help everybody out there, and this is a great system. I called him up out of the blue to ask him to be on the show. Just so happens that we got to talking, and he said, well, you know, why do you think I'm interested in the interview? Well, I said, well, you know, well, gosh, you know, you got this really interesting system. Seems like it's helped a lot of people. You know, me, myself, I was in an auto accident, which most of the listeners know, back in 2005 on Christmas, and I was retired from the state police because of it. Have terrible back and shoulder and hip pain. And Gary and I got to talk, and he said, well, would you mind if I do with some EFT work with you on the phone? And I was like,
oh, before you get into that, how long did you go with this pain? How long has it been?
Oh, 2 years. Ever since 2005, Christmas. 12/25/05. It's been an agonizing pain every day. I've been taking narcotics, you know, 8 to 10 of them a day, like they're Tic Tacs. And we're not talking about, you know, aspirin or anything like that. I've got Percocets, Darvocets, all the heavy hitters, and they don't even take care of the pain. They just dull it.
Well, that's, I really wanted to emphasize that to the audience, that what we are talking about here is a severe injury causing extreme pain, which the only solution you had at that point was these massive drug use. Go on and describe.
Well, I got to talking with Gary. He said, do you mind if I do a little EFT with you? And I thought, well, no, you know, great. So he says, you know, tell me about your back. You know, and I said, well, you know, what do you think hurts the worst? I said, my back. And he said, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, where would you put it? And I said, about an 8, you know. And he's like, okay, where you're at right now, you know, sitting down is an 8, yes. So he says, okay, and he describes to me some of the meridian points, and he said, start tapping. So we do all this and did a couple self-affirmations that we tap on the karate chop point and say, hey, you know, even though I have this pain in my back, I deeply and truly accept myself, or something to that effect. So, longer story short, we go through EFT.
No, don't make it short.
Huh?
We need detail on this,
okay.
Michael.
Okay, all right. So we go through, we tap through all the meridians, go through the karate chop point, go through the side of the eye, center of the eye, the underneath nose, chin, chest, and the one just parallel to the nipple in the side. And went through it. He, you know, every time you tap, you say, this pain in my back. You know, and then go to the next one, this pain in my back. Next one, this pain in my back. And by the end of it, I actually noticed a difference. I was like, wow, you know.
Describe the difference. What do you mean by the difference, Gary?
It was, Michael? The pain is normally very excruciating, and it's always there. It's a constant pain. It never goes away. And by the time I was done with just, 2 minutes or so of EFT, I'm about half the pain level. He's like, how do you feel now? I said, well, I'm, you know, and of course you're a little bit confused and disoriented because you're like, wow, that worked. You know, so I was like, well, probably about a 4. He's like, okay, let's try something else. So we go through again, and I believe he added a tapping point in the top of the head. And by the time we were done, again, another 2 minutes, went through the same exact thing, and even added an extra affirmation, because I, as you all know, truly believe that you can use your mind to change anything you want here in the mundane world, including pain. And we added the, you know, that you yourself believe that you can change anything. And we added that and went through and added a tapping point on a tapping meridian on top of the head. And by the end of this, maybe 4 or 5 minutes, I am able, folks, to bend over, which I haven't been able to do for 2 years, bend over, stand up, sit down, get up and down out of my chair without that shooting pain down the back of my leg, without the constant chronic pain that I've had for 2 years. I was pain-free in a matter of like 5 minutes. And I was just blown away. I was totally blown away. I mean, here it was, my only objective for the night was, hey, let me call Gary Craig and see if he'd like to come on the show and tell us about this EFT, because it sounds really interesting.
It blew all your belief circuits, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it truly was like, wow. You know, I can stand, I can sit, stand. You know, I mean, the whole night I'm getting up, get down. I mean, it was like, wow, I had my life back, you know.
Well, when you
I was me
about
again.
When you talk about the pain going down your leg, it sounds like the sciatic nerve is involved. Now,
yes.
In terms of the time, it did not last. I want you
it
to address this
lasted
issue
and
talk it over with Gary.
3 hours. Yeah, which, you know, I was like, hey, but even then, I mean, and I've read all the stuff on the net, and, you know, they're like, oh, it's a form of walking hypnosis, it's a form of this, it's a form of that. But the fact of the matter is, what these people don't understand is, it works. I don't care what it is. I'd piss on a spark plug if I thought it worked.
I would like you to address the issue of Michael's pain, and he got through 3 hours with no pain. He got to a point where the pain started coming back. What would you advise him at this point?
Well, there are several levels of EFT once you get into it. Now, it doesn't surprise me at all that Michael's pain would go away like it did. I mean, it was surprised him, but I've done it hundreds of times over the phone. So that's, but, you know, and I never know at that point whether it's going to come back in 5 minutes, 3 hours, 3 days, 3 months, 3 decades. I mean, I don't. Or be permanent. I don't know that until times go by. Now Michael reports, well, here it comes again. So what you can do then is you can repeat it. Chances are you'll be getting the same results. But that also suggests to me is that there's more going on than just the mechanical damage that occurred because of the accident.
Absolutely. I really would like you to address that. We're talking now about the emotional issue attached to his own experiences.
Yes. Now, what those are, I don't know. I'd have to spend a little time with Michael, et cetera, but let me just give you some examples. A lot of people will get headaches because they have stress at work. So they have an emotional issue that shows up, you know, in a headache, or in a weak spot of the body like in the neck and shoulders, that kind of thing, or in the low back, which is another weak spot of the body. So if you've got damage in the body, weak spots, etc., emotional issues that you have tend to show up there. They tend to aggravate pain that would be there for mechanical reasons. And so it wouldn't surprise me to learn that the kind of unresolved guilts, angers, griefs, traumas that we collect over a lifetime are showing up there. So what I would do is I would start going into his history and his past, and I'd find out, you know, who do you have resentment with? You know, where did you, who did you in sometime that you're angry about? What trauma did you have? When did you get hit, or one thing or another? I'd go back to all these things that may have happened. We'll unload them, which we can do quite easily with EFT. And the more we unload, the more likely it is that back relief that he had would start to become permanent, because there's less emotional aggravation centered there.
Well, I think the exciting part to me about all of this is that with the use of EFT, it gives you a doorway to actually begin dealing with the problem. I mean, so often people have so much pain, and even though they're taking drugs, they're exhausted from it and can't engage in these types of in therapeutic techniques, especially the long-term ones.
Sure.
But you have offered something that gives people a chance to, let's stop the pain for a few minutes. We can do this. And then they can start focusing on the very issue, the emotional issues that we're talking about. This also raises an interesting aspect of pain called secondary gain. Mm-hmm. And I'd like the audience to understand that besides anger and encounters with other people, there is a side of us that sometimes uses pain as a secondary gain. Now, Michael, I'm not suggesting you're doing this. I'm bringing this up because we often see this into treatment of migraine headaches. And as a matter of fact, I can give you an example. It occurred with a client that I had been seeing. We used biofeedback very effectively, by the way, in dealing with the migraine problem. And at that time, we were using a procedure which had the person focusing on heating their hands, mainly that was putting the blood in a different part of the body, taking it out of the head, so to speak. Well, after about 4 or 5 sessions, the migraines went away. 2 or 3 months later, I get a call from this client, and she actually says to me, "I want my migraines back."
Yeah.
Ah. Why? Because this lady had spent like 25 years in her family with migraine headaches. So all the attention in the family was around mom's migraine headache. Well, she no longer had migraine headaches, guess what?
Sure.
No more attention. It was a sad situation, and I actually had to bring in other people to start doing family counseling. Eventually, the problem did get resolved. But that's a classic example of secondary gain.
Sure, and our minds, as you know, it's a centerpiece of your radio program. Our minds are very powerful, and they'll work against us, too, you know. I've seen many people, you know, that have echoed just what you were the example you just now gave. I see that all the time. I've seen people that have had their multiple sclerosis symptoms fade so much that they don't have any symptoms whatsoever. They get out of their wheelchair, they walk around, etc. And then they discover that, my God, they're not disabled anymore. They're going to lose their monthly, you know, Social Security check and disability payments and so on. And darned if they don't recreate it.
Yeah.
You know.
Hey, I'll be honest with you. I don't make that much. I'd give it up in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Well, one of the biggest motivations people have is love. We all want love. And, you know, we mistake love sometimes for applause and appreciation and compliments and things like that. And so sometimes if we've had a void of that in our lifetimes, in our childhoods, we'll do just about anything, including sitting in a wheelchair, to create that. It seems perverse, but I can't tell you how many times I've seen it.
Oh, I can believe that.
Where I know this is what I find really interesting is when I work with a client. For instance, somebody might have a migraine, and sometimes there'll be a friend or a relative, and I'll say, "Well, can I tap you?" I'll tap them. The migraine will go. They're on their way to the drugstore. I'll tap them. The migraine goes completely away. I see them 2 months later. They say, "Oh, I got a migraine," and they don't think about they go to the drugstore. It's like they know this works, but they're scared of it. They won't come back to it.
I don't know if they're afraid of it. I mean, that could be, but I think they're more conditioned to go to the drugstore. Again, this is a belief buster. So, I mean, our minds play interesting little tricks on it. They say, "Well, okay, it worked that one time," but then they explain it away. It could have been this, that, or the other thing, you know. And so that's just kind of the stuff we deal with.
I'm convinced that what you're dealing with there is fear. You know, people simply are not used to being able to create their own reality. And you taught them how to do it, and it scares the hell out of them. And besides that, when they go to the drugstore, they can continue with the patient-victim role. When they go to the EFT, they're learning how to self-administer.
Yeah.
That gives them a lot of responsibility that they may not want. And those are the emotional issues that are so important in dealing with many of these problems.
For perspective, though, let me give the point that, let's just take the migraine headaches. The vast majority of migraine headaches that we deal with, they go away. Often they don't come back, and there isn't really any secondary gains involved. I mean, there are secondary gains with some, but I don't want to suggest that's the majority by any means. We have many, many cases where people will have these migraine headaches, you know, once or twice a week, blow the top of your head off, and they've had it for years. A few rounds of EFT, they never have it again, and they're thrilled about it, okay?
I have an issue I'd like to bring up, a personal issue with you, Gary. I suffer from cluster headaches. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't happen to be in cycle right now, so there's nothing to deal with. Have you ever had to deal with anyone with cluster headaches?
All kinds of headaches, including cluster headaches, yes.
What is the approach in dealing with a cluster headache? Why don't you go through a little description of that for me?
If you had your headache right now, I would say, on a scale of 0 to 10, how bad is it? You'd tell me it's a 7 or a 10 or something like that, and we'd start doing some tapping, and chances are it would fade. Okay. If you don't have the headache, which you don't at the moment, I would suspicion, doesn't make me right, I just always suspicion, that there is a reason why you have those headaches and I don't, and that reason would probably be some form of unresolved emotional issue that you may not even be aware of. And so I would ask you questions like, well, I'll ask you now, when do those headaches first start?
Okay, the headache started in the mid-80s.
In the mid-80s. And then I would ask you, in the mid-80s or sometime prior to that, was there a significant emotional issue in your life?
Absolutely. No question about what you're asking at this point. In the mid-80s, I went through a major life change, and as a consequence of that, including belief systems and everything else, my wife and I started becoming distant from each other, and that led down a path to 10 years later in which we finally wound up divorced.
Uh-huh.
But you are bringing up a very important issue, and that is there was an emotional stimulus to this. And even though I know it intellectually, I still don't have it resolved.
Yeah, and so what I would then do is assuming that is a cause, a contributing cause of your headache, if not the cause, then I would start taking that issue apart. I'd bring it, pare it down into very specific events, very one-minute issues in your life when somebody said something, somebody did something, you had an emotional issue, etc. And we can knock those down with EFT in a few minutes each, and after a while we get a few of those, and the whole issue just doesn't seem to be there anymore. You still remember the circumstances. You remember, what happened. But the emotional sting will just be history. And if that was a contributor or a cause of your headache, you could expect your headaches to fade as well.
I wanted to get this clarified to the audience that simply knowing the emotional issue, which I do, doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to solve the problem. And that occurs so often in treatment with people that they may know something at an intellectual level, but they seem to be totally unstuck in dealing with it. Well, let's get off of the actual treatment process and get into how much does this cost, Gary? I mean, somebody wants to get some type of treatment of EFT. How much is it going to cost them?
Well, it depends on what avenue they go. I mean, they can learn the basics, try it on themselves with our manual on our website for nothing. I mean, just go download it and read it, and there's the tapping points, and there's a lot of the, the theory behind it and how it works and so on. So just go give it a shot.
You can't beat nothing. That works for everybody. There's one thing I'd like to ask you, though. We keep using the term meridian points, and many people may not understand what that is. Could you explain what the meridian is?
Well, it's the centerpiece of Chinese medicine, which has been around for like 5,000 years. The Chinese map, some very subtle little energies, little bits of electricity, if you will, that circulate throughout the body. And the Eastern way of going about healing has always been to make sure that energy flows like it's supposed to. The similar thing is, if the blood in your body, which needs to flow where to all the organs in your body, if that was somehow disrupted, you'd have a health problem. Well, the same thing goes with the energy meridians, these little circuits that run throughout the entire body. There's 14, channels all together.
Would you describe it something like a matrix of some sort?
Oh, matrix is a word you could use, yeah. I'm having my own mind, something you may not be looking at in your mind, but I can see a picture of a body and it has all kinds of colored lines that go from the toes to the head and around the body and so on, and these are all mapped meridian
points.
Yes, exactly.
As a matter of fact, there's a fascinating field associated with astrology that deals with this. But let's get down to the cost of treatment if it's not free off the net. How much am I going to wind up paying a therapist to deal with an issue?
Well, you know, it depends on what issues you're going after. You could be all done with your issue in 5 minutes. It would be unusual to have it take more than five sessions. But somewhere between, you know, 5 minutes and a session or two, you ought to be done with it.
Okay, would I be out of line in saying that if a person had a problem and they were really serious about dealing with it, it may cost them, say, $100 to $150? Does that sound reasonable?
I think that would probably cover 75% of the cases.
Wow. Now, let me tell you, folks, that is very inexpensive.
Well, I'm going to back up 1 second.
Psychologist who's worked in the field.
Yeah, Nevin, I'm going to back up 1 second.
It will cost you about $150 a session to see a psychologist or a psychiatrist. And what Gary is offering you is really, really an inexpensive way to solve some problems. And I wanted to get that out because, you know, we often deal with people who talk about this technique or that technique, and people get very reluctant to talk about cost. Now, there is something associated with cost in terms of treatment that people also need to be aware of. And unfortunately, at this particular point in time, EFT is not accepted by third-party payers. And what I'm talking about is the insurance payers. So if someone has a particular problem, let's say a migraine headache, and you happen to have insurance, probably your insurance is not going to cover this treatment. Can you speak to that issue, Gary?
Well, you're right in that insurance companies so far, you know, haven't done much about this. Although we have some initial conversations now with Kaiser. I don't know where you are. Do you have Kaiser where you are? Kaiser Hospitals?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Go ahead and describe what you're talking about.
Well, what Kaiser does is they're very interested in how low cost they can. How little money they can spend and get results. So EFT is becoming really interesting to them. You know, instead of going through all the MRIs and the X-rays and the radiations and the surgeries and the chemicals and all that kind of stuff, we can often get that done and reduce those costs by like 80% or something like that. So they're quite interested. But insurance companies, to date, no. But on the other hand, which would you rather do, spend endless sessions on some things getting very little results? Or spend a few minutes or a session or two or three or something like that and getting the job done. I mean,
there's no question that the EFT is very cost effective, and a person would be foolish not to spend the amount of money that I'm talking about to even investigate the problem. I mean, my God, most people spend more money on, you know, snacks and toilet paper in a month than the numbers that I brought up. Which in today's world, $150 to $200 is absolutely nothing. You know, a drop in the bucket.
Well, when
it comes to treatment, well, we need to talk a little bit about where can people find a therapist for this.
Well, we have therapists all over the world that are listed on our website. I do want to point out that
on your website.
Oh, sure.
Ah, okay. Wambui, are you on that website?
I sure am.
Yes, she is.
I'm listed in New York.
Mm-hmm. Well, Gary, give an explanation of what happens when a person goes to your website and they need an EFT therapist. Do they do it by location, or how does that work?
Well, there's a link on our website that says practitioners, you know, and you go to that link, and then a page opens up, and you can search by last name if you already know the last name of somebody. Or you can search by location, or you can search by specialty.
Fantastic. A very simple system. Wambui, your practice in EFT, do you get any referrals through that particular website?
That's the only way I get them.
How do they know where you are located? In other words, on that website?
They're usually looking for somebody who's in New York City. And because I'm listed in New York City, then they look, and then we talk, and we decide whether or not we're a good match, meaning whether I have the skills that are developed enough to deal with them. If they come with big emotional problems, I refer them to a psychiatrist in New York City who actually practice who have adopted EFT into their practice. And I've been there. I mainly deal with fear of public speaking and some physical pain like that. I'm still getting to that level. I would like to say the thing that made me want to do this was when I saw that DVD of Gary with the vets at the VA hospital who had post-traumatic syndrome, and within a few hours, they could recall the incidences, but it no longer immobilized them. And after seeing that, I was like, okay, I want to learn how to do this, and I went to a conference up in Connecticut. That's where I first met you live, Gary. And then I came back and started studying and ordered all the DVDs, and I took the two tests to get an advanced certificate.
Well, I wanted to bring this up about where people can access other people to have this done, because, you know, while there may not be a whole lot of people listening right now, this show is going to go into an archive, and you better believe that a lot of people are interested in this whole process of EFT. So I expect a lot of hits within the archive. You know, we only have a few minutes left. Our show is actually 55 minutes long, and I need to kind of start wrapping up. But before I do, I want to say a couple of things. One, the sound level on Michael was too low, and Wambui, your phone has changed dramatically. It's very crystal clear. And your phone also, Gary, is very good. I haven't had any problems, but I've been having a problem hearing Michael. Okay, let's get down to the specific reasons why it may not work besides emotional causes.
Is that a question?
Yes. Why might it not work?
The way, with all the experience I have now, the belief that I am generating is that it always works. If it does not appear to work, it is because you haven't found the real issue yet. For example, the issue with your cluster headaches. We try to identify, you know, some emotional issue at or about the time, and maybe we're right, maybe we're wrong. We won't know until we use EFT on it. But if we've used EFT on those emotional issues, we will collapse the emotional issues. But whether or not that helps with the headache, I don't know. I do not conclude from that it did not work on your headache. I conclude that it has not worked yet. We haven't found the real issue yet. And so then we keep going. And with that belief system, I have turned many stubborn cases into winners.
You brought up an important point in one of your articles that being dehydrated or a lack of water can also have a negative effect on your whole system. Is that true or not?
Well, there are some who have that belief. You know, water is a good electrical conductor. We're talking about the body's energy, electrical systems, and so on. And so, yeah, there's some logic behind that. Do I actually use that concept myself? No, not really. I mean, I don't have people just start drinking water.
One last comment. Most states have specific licensing requirements for therapists. Is a license required for the practice of EFT?
Not from me. Now, all the states are different, and so, you know, people have to look at their own state organizations as to whether or not they need to be licensed, and they're very all over the place. A lot of the states, however, like California, where I live, have new legislation that basically says, hey, we want alternative practices here, so, you know, here's some guidelines that you can use without being licensed and practices. So I look in your state to see if you have such laws.
Well, Gary, it's been a fantastic interview, and it's gone by way too fast. I really appreciate you coming on the show today, and I look forward to having you back. Can we get you back on the show and have some demonstrations?
Sure, we'll have to compare our schedules, of course, but yeah.
Oh, absolutely fantastic. Well, listen, Gary, I'm going to have to close with you. I want you to have a great day, and keep on plugging, okay?
Okay, my best to you all.
Yes, thank you,
Gary.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary.
Bye. Michael, it's time for you to start rapping.
All right. couple things I want to point out. We are now doing a Saturday session. That is 7 o'clock Eastern, and if you go to our website, you can see there's a little converter where you can convert the times to your local time. But we're also going to be doing a Saturday show that is put together specifically for creating your own reality, what we had started out with. Nevin, myself, Wambui would be on there in and out from time to time. We'd love for you to stop by and check it out. Also on our website, which is www.woodlandstarsradio.com, you'll see a link that says creating your own reality or create your own reality. You click that and follow through the notes with the sessions. It's like a classroom setting. We would love for you to call in if you have any questions. Definitely give us a call. I think that's everything that we've got. Also, there's a link on our site to Gary Craig's site, which is emofree. That's emofree.com. You can order his DVDs, and you can watch the video on our site. And with that, I'm going to pass over to Wambui. Is there anything you have?
No, this has been great. I was excited all day, like a little kid, waiting for Gary Craig to come on. And so this has been really great. I just want to tell the listening audience to please, please go to the site and download the book and just try it. I was skeptical, too, at first because, it, like you said, it goes against everything we've been taught to believe about how to get well and how to feel better. But it works. It works.
Wonderful. Okay, folks, this is a wrap. Michael, time to close the show. You have the last words, kid.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to thank you for listening. Keep in mind, we're on the net 24/7. You can get us, and you all have a wonderful day. And remember, if nothing else, Michael, Wambui, and Nevin, we love you. Good night.
Thank you.